Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Sets my heart aglow. He is the living way, the truth, the light. I know I wanna walk every day with my Lord. I wanna walk every step of the way, close to His side, every hour of the day. I wanna know that we are in one accord. I wanna walk every day with my Lord. I don't want to take a little stroll now and then, be known to my Lord as just a fair weather friend. When someone looks at me, they might catch a glimpse of Him. I want to walk every day with my Lord. I want to walk every step of the way, close to His side, every hour of the day. I want to know that we are in one accord. I want to walk every day with my Lord. I want to walk every step of the way, close to His side, every hour of the day. I want to know that we are in one accord, even on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, I wanna walk, talk, sing, pray, even on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Good morning and welcome to this another edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, broadcast to you out of the city of Columbus, Indiana. My name is Lane Lohman. I'm the producer and director of the program, a program that began in 1937 under the leadership of my late father, Dr. J. Harold Lohman. The song that you just heard is off my album titled Favorites, and I'd like to send it out to you as a gift. This is my birthday month. I will turn 78 years old on the 30th day of October. And I'd like to send this to you. It has 20 songs on it. Some of the songs, we mentioned them last week, but other songs on the album: Well Done My Child, Satisfied, Oh Come Along, My Lord and I, Yes I Know, If He Hung the Moon, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole, God on the Mountain, Once for All, Sustaining Grace, When Life is at its Worst, and Beulah Land. Along with several other songs, it's yours. All you have to do is just write me a note. Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. And of course, if you want to help keep this program on your station, you can enclose a gift But we'll send you the album regardless. I hope you'll do that. And don't forget to pray for me as I'm involved in revival services this month of October, the second weekend of the month of October. I'm at Orleans, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene, October 11 to 13. And then October 20 to 23, I'll travel down to the state of Kentucky, to Flemingsburg, Kentucky, again at the Church of the Nazarene. And then finish out the month of October, we'll be ministering at the Church of the Nazarene in Rockville, Indiana. That's Sunday morning only. So I do covet your prayers as we're involved in these services and revival meetings. Heavenly Father, it's always a joy to share the program with our listening audience. And I pray that you would minister to that person who is really struggling today. Maybe they are wondering if they can really live up to the muster of being a true child of God. Help them to know they can, that you provided everything that they need to live the kind of life that's pleasing to you. You've given us your word. You've given us the blessed Holy Spirit. You've given us grace sufficient to meet our every need. I pray that you would be with all of those who will gather and worship today. The preachers will preach, evangelists will share the word of God. May it be a good day, a good weekend in the Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
Not my will, but thine, Lord.
rugged cross he goes.
And on the rugged cross he would go.
That to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I?
Respect. We don't measure our holiness by John Wesley. We don't measure our holiness by Phineas Brazee, the founder of the Church of the Nazarene. We don't measure our holiness by Commissioner Bringle or Booth, those founders and leaders of the Salvation Army. We don't measure our holiness by B.T. Roberts, the founder of the Free Methodist Church. We don't measure our holiness by any of these esteemed leaders of the holiness movement. No, my friend. Without question, the greatest incentive that you and I have to be holy because God is holy is because we serve a holy God and He commanded it. Be ye holy because I am holy. Oswald Chambers said the secret of a Christian is that the supernatural is made natural in him by the grace of God. Now, if we're going to be holy because God is holy, we must not only understand the command, the documentation, the blueprint. We must also have a proper understanding of what comprises the holiness of God. What is the holiness of God? The most concise way I know to define the holiness of God is to first of all deal with it in the negative and remind this congregation this morning of God's intense hatred of sin. God hates sin. Someone said we've gone soft on sin in the church. We have, even in the 21st century church, even in the holiness movement, I fear, made allowances for sin in the life of the believer. Even justified sinful behavior in the life of the Christian. Habakkuk expressed it like this when he said of God, "Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity." He hates sin. All sin is serious to God. He hates it with a divine passion. He never gets used to sin. He never accepts sin simply because he is a holy God. And when Adam and Eve committed that first sin in the Garden of Eden, God moved into action to deal with the sin in the life of Adam and Eve. He shed blood for the very first time. He killed an animal, one of his own creation, and he took the skin of that animal and he used it as a covering for the nakedness of Adam and Eve, saying to them, "I will not look upon that which represents sin." Sin is serious to God. He hates sin. Don't buy into the idea that you're hearing on the television and on the radio that you cannot have power and complete victory over sin. The Bible says we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh, but to the Spirit to live after the Spirit. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God hates sin, and the remedy for sin has been made available for every one of us. Not just the sins we've committed, but the principle from which those sins were given birth. He hates sin. That's the negative aspect of the holiness of God. The positive aspect of the holiness of God is twofold. First of all, his unwavering righteousness. The root word for righteousness is right. He is a right God. He never does anything wrong. He is a right God. Abraham raised the question of God. He asked, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And friend, there is only one way that you can answer that question, and it's with an overwhelming, resounding yes. He always does that which is right. But as we have learned during this camp meeting, he allows things we sometimes don't understand. I don't understand why God will touch a dear saint of God that's lived there 3 score and 10 years, who's been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and give them an extended 10 years of life. And at the same time, allow that same disease to snuff out the life of a young mother. When she walked into my church that Sunday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, I could tell immediately she was a cut above the rest. She was not long in seeking me out. She came up to me and she said, "My name is Julie Smith. My dad pastors the Nazarene Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I've come here to Tribeca to go to college. Heard about your church. I'm going to attend this church. I'm not going to bounce around to the other churches in the area. I'm coming here." I said, "That's wonderful, Julie." She said, "I want to get involved. I want to be a part of your church. How can I be involved?" I said, "What are your gifts? What are your talents?" She said, "I love children. I want to work with your children's program." I said, "Thank you, Lord. They are hard to come by." And she put herself into that ministry at our church. She was there Sunday mornings and Sunday night, and on Wednesday night, she was involved in the children's program of our church. I can remember she had learned how to sign, and even when we'd have special music in the morning service and she wasn't working with the children, she would stand on the platform and she would do those beautiful hand maneuvers, signing the music that was being sung. It was beautifully done. And then I noticed, after the first semester that she was with us, I noticed she came back from the Christmas break, and then a young man started showing up with her at church. Came very obvious that they were together. Came together, left together. Then about maybe a third of the way through the next semester, she came to me one Sunday, and she said, "Pastor Lane, you've been noticing a young man's been coming to church with me." I said, "Yes, I've noticed that. Comes with you on Sunday night." She said, "We're dating. We talked about it, prayed about it." And she said, "I've decided that I'm going to start going to his church. I hope you understand." I said, "I do. Blessings on you. Thank you for what you've done here at our church, the time you've been with us." And she went on her way with that handsome young man. They graduated from Tribeca College. Years passed, I went back into evangelistic ministry. And one Friday, I was off, and I'm living in Nashville at the time, and Tribeca was playing basketball that particular Friday night. And so I decided to go over to the gym to watch the game. And when I walked in the gym, there she sat, after all these years now, there she sat with 2 beautiful little toe-headed daughters and her husband. And I went over and I sat down beside them, and we renewed our acquaintance, and we talked during the game. And it was a wonderful time of reunion. And then we said our goodbyes when the game was over. And then several weeks passed, and I walked into the post office there in Antioch, and one of my former members, who I had the privilege of pastoring when I was in the pastorate there, he worked at the post office, and he saw me walk in, and he said, "Lane, come over here. I need to tell you something." His name was Mike, and I said, "What do you need, Mike?" He said, "Did you hear about Julie Smith, Runyon?" And I said, "No." That she wasn't feeling well, and she went to the doctor, and they diagnosed her with cervical cancer, stage 4. We're praying. We're believing God's going to heal her. Word went all over the southeastern region, the churches of the Nazarene, to pray for that precious young lady. And we prayed and we prayed. I thought, God's going to do this one. He's going to touch her body. I just believe that. She's a credit to the kingdom. Look at all that she's been doing to help build the kingdom of God. She was on staff at what was then College Hill Church of the Nazarene there in Nashville. Several weeks passed. I walked back into that post office in Antioch, Tennessee, and my friend Mike saw me come in. He said, "Lane, come over here." I walked over to the counter. I said, "What, Mike?" He said, "Did you hear about Julie?" I said, "No." He said, "She died." Not too long after that, I was invited to preach a revival at her home church, Fayetteville, North Carolina, First Church of the Nazarene. I was being kept in a beautiful home. And one night after one of the first services, maybe it was Sunday night, the host there in that home where I was staying, he came to me and said, "Lane, you knew Julie, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I knew Julie." He said, "Would you like to see her last sermon that she preached to the children and the teens at College Hill Church?" I said, "I would." I sat down in front of their television. He put that VHS tape into the machine and turned it on, and I began to watch. And there she stood in front of these young people and children sitting in front of her in the downstairs area of that big church. Standing before them with a turban type affair wrapped around her head. She'd lost all of her hair. There was a gaunt look in her eyes. She was a shell of the young lady I had known. And I heard her admonish those children, stay true to God. Serve the Lord. She wrote a letter to every member of her senior class in high school saying, don't go out into eternity without Jesus. And I sat there and I wept as I watched that young lady pour her heart out. And a few days later, she was gone. I don't mind telling this congregation this morning that I scratched my head over that. I didn't get that. I wondered why God didn't touch her. When he would touch somebody else who's on in their years of life, why would he touch them and not Julie Smith Runyon? I didn't get it. But God is always right. He's never been wrong. His ways are bigger than ours. And he is the God of the big picture. He knows the end from the beginning. And we view it with a very finite human mind. And we don't get it all. I don't understand why God, in his creative power, would take a great big pumpkin and attach it to a scrawny vine on the ground. Yet take a small acorn and attach it to a mighty oak tree in the sky. If I'd been doing the creating, if you'd have been doing the creating, I speculate that we would have probably put the pumpkin on the giant oak tree and the acorn on the scrawny vine. That would have made sense to us. But God is always right, because he knew that if he put the pumpkin on the tree and the acorn on the ground, and I'm walking under the tree when the pumpkin falls out, he's always right. He's never wrong. His unwavering righteousness. But then the second part of the positive aspect of the holiness of God is something with which we are familiar. And I don't want it to go through one ear and out the other this morning, because it's critical that we get this. And I'm reminded that an integral part of the holiness of God is his unconditional love for you and me. There isn't anything that you or I could ever do that could cause him to change his love for us. Because you see, that's the very character of God. The Bible confirms that God is love. And I discovered in those times in my life when I would turn my back on him, and I have more than once. You know what he did? He loved me. He didn't dust his hands of Lane Loman and say, I'm through with you. Cross the line, Lane. He loved me. And every time I came back to him with a contrite spirit and with an attitude of repentance, you know what he did? He embraced me and he forgave me.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Song, praising my Savior.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.